If you're good, I would like us to read in Genesis chapter 12 tonight, verse 16. Genesis chapter 12, verse 16. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses, and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, 'She is my sister,' so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hay, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord."
Verse 6 of the chapter our brothers read from. "The man standing by his altar, calling on the name of the Lord. God speaking to that man, saying, now because he come into this land, he adds a blessing and he says, now I'll give it to thy seed." God is talking to the man. And the man is calling on the name of the Lord. How tragic when you come down to the verses that occupy our mind this evening, that God isn't talking to the man. And the man isn't talking to God. There's no communication, as it were, between heaven and earth. He's not calling on the name of the Lord anymore. And God is not speaking down from heaven and saying, "I will bless thee." There's a strange silence between heaven and earth. A strange silence between the man who had called on the name of the Lord and the God of heaven. Why? For the man is now walking in his own strength, walking in his own way. He's not asking God's guidance, not seeking God's direction. He's grieved the Lord in so many ways. And he and Sarai have already concocted a plan by which he can escape from being killed by them telling partly the truth and partly lies, scheming together in order they might go down into Egypt and she might enjoy the pleasures of Egypt down there. No instruction from God, putting her into a great moral danger, silencing his own conscience because he's telling half the truth and half a lie. But on top of that, our brother read to us that Pharaoh entreated Abram very well. Oxen and sheep and men servants and maid servants and she asses and he asses and so on. All the riches that were pouring into the lap of Abraham, if you like. And all of it with a strange, guilty conscience. He had a scheme. It was apparently working. Then God did something. God steps into the situation. You say, did God speak to Abram? No. Did God speak to Sarai? No. Did he trouble Abram's conscience? No. Did he trouble Sarai's conscience? No. Did he afflict them? No. In his providential ways, he moves in the house of Pharaoh. As far as Abram and Sarai was concerned, the scheme was settled. The scheme was working. Everything would work out all right. And then God acts. Here we have to learn the lesson of the power of God. That He can move in the very lives of the greatest of the earth in order to bring back His erring people to Himself. And there's a plague upon Pharaoh in all his house. And when that plague upon Pharaoh and all his house takes place, Pharaoh's troubled in conscience. God doesn't speak to Abram. God speaks to Pharaoh. Doesn't trouble Abram's conscience. He troubles Pharaoh's conscience. And how Pharaoh got to know the facts of the case, the chapter does not tell us. But he comes to find out that Sarai is Abram's wife, as well as being Abram's sister. And touched by God in that remarkable way. What a moment it must have been in the life of Abram when it says that Pharaoh called Abram. Here's the man who had stood by an altar and called on the name of the Lord. A testimony in the midst of the Canaanites, strong and true and faithful to his God. Now he has to face the piercing eye of Pharaoh. Asking the question, why hast thou done this thing unto me? Why didst thou not tell me she was thy wife, that I might have taken unto her to me to wife? And this man, though he's a pagan, though he's a heathen, he recoils from the very idea of such a sin. He points the accusing finger in the direction of Abram. Almost see Abram getting small, losing his dignity, hanging his head in shame. Had he not stood as a mighty man by his altar? Had he not stood there as a testimony for God and called upon the name of the Lord? Now the piercing eye of accusation is pointing him, why did you do this to me? And Abram diminishes in height and importance. He realizes somewhat of an awful mess that he has made, losing his testimony in the midst of a contrary world. And a pagan man who didn't know Jehovah, pointing the accusing finger and saying, well, why did you do that to me? Shouldn't you say, it's the end of a period of backsliding. The man has started off, there's no communication between him and God. The man has gone wandering off his own way, and day after day may be gathering self. There's no period of prayer, there's no waiting on God. Until an hour they concoct the scheme together. By telling half the truth and half lies, they will save the life of Abram. They will jettison the morality of Sarai. And of course becoming rich by it too. And now it's all out. The secret's all known. The scheme has been opened up, if you like, before the eyes of Pharaoh and before the eyes of Abram. Abram stands there ashamed. Guilty. He's nothing to say. He's made a complete mess of his life. In a little while he's come from the point where he called on the name of the Lord. He's hanging his head in shame. As a backslider. And a failure. He's a spiritual tragedy, if you like, just at that moment. Standing condemned in the presence of a heathen one. You say, well, that's the story of backsliding. That's right. Maybe we have some backsliders here. And I thought this evening we would spend our time talking to backsliders. As the meeting goes on, I'll possibly ask just the backsliders to come and listen. Sitting on your seat, of course, listen to what I have to say from this chapter about backsliders. Well, here's a man who, a little while ago,
He raised an altar. A little while ago, he called on the name of the Lord. He was a testimony in the midst of the Canaanites that were in the land. But now, he never intended to get into this mess. He never intended to be an awful failure. But just step by step, he went down the road to Egypt until now he stands and is cowed in shame. The misery of the man's heart as he stands before Pharaoh. Pharaoh points the accusing finger. Why did you do that to me? Some backslide in the building. Maybe you go back weeks. Maybe you go back years. Maybe you go back many years. And you think of a moment when Abram, like, you called on the name of the Lord. You think of a moment when Abram, like, from the Word of God, the Spirit of God spoke to you. And Christianity was real. And communication with heaven was absolutely vital. And you loved maybe in those days, a little while ago or a long ago, to be a real testimony for God. And you're sitting in the meeting here tonight and you made a mess of your life. And everything you like, if you like, has gone wrong. And maybe you trace back tonight step by step the way you came down. Lack of communion with God. You left the altar. Lack of prayer. You left the altar. Moving without being conscious of being in the center of the will of God, you drifted south. You felt the warm sun of the world as you came nearer to its rays, and you found a desire for a little bit of the things of the world. From that onwards, with all kinds of schemes for your own sustenance, for your well-being, for you'd come to a point where you no longer felt you could get down and pray for the help of God. And Abram, like you, was just going down and going down to Egypt to talk to you backsliding Christians here this evening to trace the path you've trodden on the way down. You agree with me that backsliding is going down. Going on with God is going up. Going on with God is communication with heaven. Going on with God is joining your soul, but you're conscious of the fact you've been going down. Maybe there's somebody sitting in the meeting tonight, and to be quite honest, you've made a real mess of your life. And your testimony is shattered. The world almost mocks at you. You've made a mess of your own life, maybe. As Abram made a mess of his wife's life too here too, didn't he? And then he had a tragic effect upon Pharaoh in the plague that came upon him. And as you look back over your life since you begin to backslide, the tragic effects of backsliding not only on yourself, but on your loved ones, on your friends, on the unsaved. People, maybe you've tripped up, been almost stumbling block to others who were looking up to you, and if you let them down, and you stand like Abram at this night in this meeting, and you say, I've made a mess of things. I've absolutely failed. I didn't think I'd ever get here, but here I am. And everybody knows, and I know. As Pharaoh knew and all his men knew, if you like, that here was a man who professed to have a contact with heaven. And he miserably failed. Miserably failed. You try and think with me of the thoughts that would enter into his heart? Ah, yes, he'd come out of Ur of the Chaldees. He delayed a wee while, but the Word of God says he came out of the Ur of the Chaldees and into the land of Canaan. He came. God had come and showed his commendation of the step that Abram had taken. And he moved into the land, and he came into the land to the right place, and God had showed him the land. And after that great experience of the movements of God in his life and his faith and his exercise with God, he's failed on a matter of faith. You see, in a famine, he drifted down into Egypt. You remember the book of Ruth? In a famine, the man went to Moab because he couldn't go south. There must have been war toward the south. But Abram had found the quickest way in a famine to get sustenance was go down into Egypt world. And maybe somebody here tonight, and you found that you've got to wait the altar. Your soul was parched and dry, that's Abram. And then Egypt seemed so easy and so easy to get out of. In an Egypt world, you are far away from the Lord tonight. You grieve the Lord. You know you made a mess. And you long to be back. But how difficult it is to find a way back. The thing before Abram, as he stood there in the presence of Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, take thy wife and get out. Oh, the shame of a Christian. But they stood square for God and as a bright testimony, and they backslide and they failed. The world lifts up the picture, the finger of accusation, reproves you because they say, you were this and you've done that. You're a disgrace. And Abram stood in the presence of Pharaoh, a man disgraced. It would have been better if the chapter had been different, wouldn't it? It would have been better if you had read now Abram's conscience troubled him. And Sarah, she was tormented within. And they both of them had another consultation together, and they decided to put the thing right and return to the Lord. But Abram didn't return to the Lord because he had a bad conscience. He got out of Egypt because he had a bad conscience. He didn't make his way home because he had a bad conscience. Pharaoh had said, get out. He gets out a disgraced man. As he stands outside the first house of Pharaoh. And the men of Pharaoh commanded his men, and they sent away Abram, and they sent away his wife, and they sent away all that he had. And there Pharaoh was glaring at him. The soldiers, I suppose, of Pharaoh, the men of Pharaoh, smirk on their cheeks. Maybe a sneer and a laugh. This strange man from afar who came in here. Look what a disgraceful man he is. Come to here this evening. You're a backslider. And the folks around you know you're a backslider. Your loved ones know you're a backslider. Maybe they're not slow to remind you what you used to be. And what you used to do. You feel you've made an absolute wreck of your life. You don't really know which way to turn. A real backslider. That's where Abram was. Where did he go at this point? He's out of Pharaoh's house. The men of Pharaoh make sure he gets out. He gets out. He got out. His wife got out. I wonder what they felt like. Abram shamed, Sarah shamed. They plotted this together, the way in which he was going to save his skin, risk her morality. They plotted that together, and now their scheme has absolutely failed. And now it's like, how we say they were rich? They're rich. All that he had. I'm really surprised at Pharaoh here. If I'd have been Pharaoh, I'd say, put him out, put his wife out, and take away all those possessions that we gained him. For these were possessions that he had gained by telling lies. These were possessions that he had obtained by telling half the truth. These were possessions he had gained because he was fraudulent. He got a man of false pretenses, if you like, pretending, rightly so of course, that Sarah was only his sister and hiding the fact that Sarah was his wife. He got enriched. And I think I see the lordly contempt of this. He feels it's below his dignity in dealing with a worthless character like Abram. Below his dignity to say, make him give the good wife. And out they go. Out of Pharaoh's palace and out of Pharaoh's court. A disgraced man. A disgraced woman. And a big crowd of sheep. A big crowd of oxen. Men servants and maid servants. She asks. Cattle and so on. And he looked on each one of them. Every time he would see those particular animals and persons in the days and the years would have come, he would prick his conscience, agonize his soul. They were the results that he had gained because he was a master. Well, in the meeting tonight, you look like that.
Maybe you look around your home. Maybe you look around your possessions. And it is in the course of your backsliding, where you've done and practiced things that grieve the Lord.
And there's this accumulation, there's that accumulation, there's that accumulation. And every time you look at them, you say, you know, that's something that I acquired when I was away from the Lord. Something I acquired when I was grieving the Lord. The awful blight of a backslider. I didn't say it was every backslider here tonight that you'd like to stand up. I wouldn't be as cruel as that. There's a message in the Word of God here for a backslider. The awfulness of a man or a woman that feels that they had great aspirations for God. They were so high in their spiritual experience that they almost touched the very heavens. It's all gone. It's all empty. It's all turned to dust. You're a failure. Does anybody want anything to do with you now? And the God of heaven. Would the God of heaven have anything to do with Abram now? This man who had so miserably failed. God had had to enter into the situation by bringing a plague upon Pharaoh. Does God have anything to do with man now? Has he finished spiritually? Has he come down into the dust spiritually? Will he live out the few remaining years of his life and then go home to glory? Oh, go home to glory yet. A backslider doesn't get lost again. A backslider saved, once saved, always saved. To live the rest of his life in misery? Is that where you are? Did you wonder what God can do with a man like you? Did you wonder what God can do with a woman like you? Failed the Lord so miserably. Let him down. Take courage from the fact that every one of us is sitting in this room this evening saved by divine grace. With hearts exactly like you. And we would fail exactly like you if it were not for the grace of God. One wouldn't stand here and speak in pride of the years going on with the Lord, but so proud of wonder every one of us here this evening for this awfulness of being backslidden, the shame, and the disgrace, and the hopelessness, no future. He comes out of Egypt now. Standing outside, where would he go? There's an urge in his soul, wants to get back. To get back to the place where he once was. So he comes out He's going to make his way into the south country that is the south part of Palestine. He's coming from Egypt and he's going to the south. He wants to get back. I wonder if you backsliders that are here this evening have an urge in your very soul, you want to get back. You want to get back to the Lord. And can the Lord do anything with a man or woman who's disgraced him? Man or woman who's lost his testimony? Can he do anything at all with a man like that? You want to get back. I tell you, this chapter teaches me that Abram, when he wanted to get back, found he got a hard job in front of him. He says he was heavy. Gold and silver and cattle. I don't know where he got the gold and silver from, but I don't know where he got the cattle from. He was heavy, heavy. You see, he was heavy with all that cattle. It meant he couldn't go back so quickly. But I think it means more. That he has a heavy heart. A broken heart. A heart that feels the game is up and he's finished and he's heavy and his feet are dragging as he goes back on the north. Because you've got to go back to the place of the altar where he was at the first. You've got to go back to a point where again you can call upon the name of the Lord. You've got to go back with an contrite and humble spirit and go all the way back. My dear backsliding friend, you'll be finding tonight, as others have found before you, that the road back is very hard. The road back is very hard. He went through the south country, through the very country come down. He went through the various parts of the south country going back. He was passing by the incidents he would remember that all worked together in his life. As you get alone in the presence of God, I trust you will as a result of this meeting, and you think about getting back to the Lord and getting back to the place of the altar, you'll go on, won't you? The various occasions in that life of yours when you made the wrong decision, decided to go the wrong way, and you took the wrong companionship, you stayed in the wrong places, and all those things will come back to you when you're on the road back. The Bible says, "For this man will I look to is a humble and a contrite spirit and a trembling of my life." Lord, can I say that the case of a real backslider to bow before the Word of God and tremble before Him? You want the road back. You say, will He receive me? Will He receive me? Is there mercy for one like me? Well, the prodigal son might have said the same thing, mind you, in the quiet country. In my father's house, they're dredging up with his prayer. He was going to return home, but will he receive back? Chapter shows us when he was yet a great way off, his father saw and fled. I tell you, the Lord he failed. The Lord making you deny. The Lord's testimony you splattered. These are the Lord who destroy it. I guess you're awaiting the Lord that he wants to receive you back. Our brother told us already in his ministry in the past evenings, the Lord whispers, I will heal them that slave. I will love them freely. So backslider tonight, one who wants to get back, remember, there's the Lord waiting to receive you. There's a Father waiting to forgive you once he's on back. When you go back, when you go back to the very place you went wrong, you don't go back to face up the situation in which you went wrong. And you'll go back as a contrite, repentant child of God, acknowledging your guilt. You'll go back to the place that you left. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who's going to backslide out. As you sit on your seat and you listen, are you willing to go back? Longing to go back? Longing for smile? Longing to know the joy of forgiveness did David not say, I've acknowledged my guilt. Oh, yes, he acknowledges guilt. Says, God, forgive me all my sins. Way back, dear child of God. And you can find that way back tonight, back to the Lord, back to the place of the altar, back to communion, back to forgiveness. You can get back tonight. My time is gone. Let me quote a text. It's often used in the Gospels, but the Gospel preachers sing all the texts that really belong to the listeners of the Word, don't they? This text from the Old Testament, meant for the saints and not meant for sinners. It will suit you tonight in the way of the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Some brother here, wait in the Lord. Some sister here, wait in the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. This is your opportunity. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked backslider, the sages right. And the unrighteous backslider, the sages cause. And let him return, brother sister. Let him return, he wants him to come. Let him return unto the Lord what? He will have mercy upon him. He will abundantly pardon, so that you may go on in days to come with a clear sky between your soul and God, and be something with God in days that lie ahead. Just come. Opportunity presents itself to you to seek the Lord. In these days when strangely I've been guided to talk to you about my flight, you can come back. He's reconciled to your Lord. You know his smile. You know his presence. You know that everything is right between you and the one who saved you so long ago. And he wants you to come back. Oh God, we thank thee for the meeting we've had this evening. And for the education we have received for the good of our souls. And we thank thee for Brother Jim's ministry. And ask thee that this ministry on these two minor prophets of the Old Testament scriptures might be for our good. Then remember we have had backsliders with us evening after evening during these meetings. We've come to this point in Abram's life that the return of a backslider. We ask thee, O God, to look on this company, the spiritual condition of every one of our souls. Some of us are away from there. Some have longing to be back in fellowship with thee. We pray that thou wilt, in thy mercy and thy grace, bring those who are in a measure estranged from thee, maybe estranged from their loved ones, who mourning the mess they've made in their, of their own lives. O God, in thy mercy, recover them, we pray, and bring them back. Help them that they might again enjoy thy smile. We pray thee, O God, for thy blessing on the ministry of thy word tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus.